Welcome to Off the Cuff, where Mish and Chris discuss the week's events informally and without a script. Welcome, Mish. There's so much to talk about here. We've got just incredible market stuff that I want to get to, but of course, the first thing I want to get to is that remarkable post you had about your wife Joanne's condition and what you are doing in order to help raise money for a very, very important cause and foundation. Can you talk to us about that?
Sure. My wife has ALS. It's a commonly called Lou Gehrig's disease. She's got a form called progressive bulbar palsy, and I think it's labeled differently only depending upon where it starts. Lou Gehrig had a problem swinging a bat. That's where it was first noticeable for him. He couldn't swing with the same speed, and literally 3-4 months later, he was gone. Well, medical care is a lot different now than it was back in those times. They catch things a little bit earlier. And she's got a form of progressive bulbar palsy. That's bulbar relates to muscles in the throat. So the first thing to go for her was the ability to talk, and then the ability to chew and swallow. She's been on a feeding tube entirely since March of last year, so a little bit more than a year. And up until about, even October, we actually managed to get out and golf. Now she can only hit the ball about 40 yards, but she could still walk around on the course. Now she can barely walk at all. And pretty soon she's going to be immobile. I mean, that's just the nature of the disease. It is very relentless. Sometimes it's slow and steady. Sometimes the degradation is pretty fast. Her dad died of it, and her granddad died of it, and grandfather died of it. So anyway, I'm trying to raise money to support ALS research, and I want everyone to know what you've done here for me, too. That website that's on the ALS Center that's in my blog where people click to donate money, Adam and your staff and you developed that website with images from the Les Turner Foundation. You put that together. So a lot of thanks go to you, Chris, and I really, really appreciate that, because that is a very well-designed website, far better than I could have done on my own. And I had some other help from some other people, and Gold Money's a sponsor, and Sitka Pacific's a sponsor. So I'm very, very pleased with how people are chipping in here to help me.
Great. You know, Adam deserves the lion's share of that credit. And so talk to us about this raffle a little bit here. I think this is a pretty exciting raffle. I know some people who probably are interested in this.
It is an exciting raffle. Half the money to the ALS Foundation, half to the winners. I've got an extremely lofty goal. I don't know if I can meet that goal or not, but the ALS Foundation would be happy. Actually, they're pleased already. We raised over $100,000 on the first day.
Nice.
And if we sell all 30,000 tickets, and we're giving away 10 prizes, and the bottom prize, if we sell all of those tickets, would be $100,000. So, you know, 1 in 3,000 people will win at least $100,000. That's if we sell them all, and the odds go up, actually, if we don't sell all those tickets. So, but the prize will be smaller. But anyway, I mean, compare that to, say, winning the lottery, which is, what, 1 in 154 million, you know, to 1 odds of winning. So this, you've got a 1 in 3,000 chance, if we sell all of those tickets, of winning at least 100,000. And if we do sell all of them, the top prize will be 1 million. Now, maybe the prizes are way less than that, but the odds will go up. So this supports a good cause, and the Les Turner ALS Foundation, they are absolutely thrilled with the results from the first day.
Excellent. And so where do people find this right now? What's the URL for that?
Well, the easiest way to find it would probably be to search my blog for Mish and ALS. I've not tried that, but I believe that would work. Right now, it's about the 6th or 7th post down on my recent post list. Or people can just email me, just contact me off of my blog. There's a contact button and say, you know, Mish, you know, how do I find this blog? Because it's a really long URL name, even longer than mine on my blog. So, but just search down the left-hand side, or do a search for Mish ALS. If that doesn't turn it up, hit the contact button on my blog. I'll be happy to direct people to it.
Excellent. I'm going to make it even easier. If you are listening to this off of the website, chrismartinson.com, just scroll down. The link is going to be right there at the bottom, along with this podcast right now. Okay. Fantastic odds on that, by the way. If anybody's looked at the lottery, your dollar-adjusted potential earnings off of that is usually well below a dollar per dollar spent. This would be higher than that. So it's got a pretty good potential return there. Hey, I'm going to turn to the markets now. Yesterday, 2 o'clock, if anybody was watching their screens, all kinds of things happened. Gold got clobbered, the dollar sprang up, treasuries started gyrating. What happened? What happened was minutes were released. They were published by the Fed Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock that showed that only 2 out of 10 policy-setting FOMC members, those are the voting members, saw the case for additional monetary stimulus. You know, I've always said we're all speculators now. Well, this was a grand moment of speculation. If you were speculating that those minutes, which are just words, were going to disappoint, you could have gone short a number of things, gone long some other things, and made some really good coin yesterday. Of course, that's not investing. We all have to guess what's going to be in those minutes and then how the market's going to react. But it's pretty clear that today we are in a market environment where if there is more stimulus, we'll get more market upside. And if there isn't stimulus, the market will be disappointed. That's the world we're in right now. And it's just crazy, but there we are. And of course, the spillovers continued on into today with additional stock market weakness, commodity weakness, all kinds of disappointment out there over the idea that the Fed isn't going to just continue to print more soon. And that's
amazing,
what I see.
Chris. It's pretty amazing, Chris, that we've got a market that is entirely dependent, not on its fundamentals, unless you call printing money a fundamental. It's entirely dependent on what central banks do. And I'm watching sovereign bond yields in Spain, Italy, and Portugal today, all up pretty strongly. Actually, Spain hit a high today of 5.71%. So we're going to be back above 6 on another route like we had today. And, you know, what happened there? Things, the yields in Europe stopped dropping the minute the ECB said, you know what? I don't think we're going to do any more LTRO programs, long-term refinance operations. So they stopped that. That halted the rally in sovereign bonds, and now they're going back up.
So you're saying that the LTRO 2 dumped about $1 trillion of new money into the system, and that managed to support sovereign bond yields for what? I have to get my short-term calendar out. What, about a month and a half?
No, since December. So what do we have? December, January, February, March. For 4 months, Chris.
Well, those took a little while to start taking off. I remember there was a month where everybody was scratching their head saying, why is all this money parked at the ECB?
Yes, but well, then when the banks realize they're, oh my God, there's no stigma from getting the money from the ECB, So they all piled up. But you know who piled up the most? It was the weakest banks, the in the worst countries that piled up. Some of the stronger banks are actually saying, you know what, we don't want this money. We're going to pay it back early. Not so in Spain. The Spanish banks levered up on this garbage, and if yields in Spain inch back up above 6%, they're going to be underwater on these frickin' bonds they bought. So that is the mess that they're going to be in. Well, it depends on where they bought them at. You know, the yields hit, oh, it looks like it's interpolating this chart, maybe 6.7%. But, you know, how many of these banks bought them right there? They probably didn't. You know, if they bought them right around 6, which is, you know, the rate maybe in December, you know, they're going to be underwater pretty soon. And, you know, and on top of it, Spain now is talking about, I don't know if you saw this, 2 days ago they came out and they said that they were going to guarantee the debt for the regional governments.
Oh, yes.
So now you've got another reason to not want, you know, so they're saying, well, the regional bond yields are too high. Okay, so we can lower those by Spain guaranteeing them, but at what expense? By the expense of all of the yields going north. Actually, it was when Spain came out and said that, that yields started rising, and they've been actually rising now, I think, in anticipation of this and in anticipation of the end of the LTRO here.
Yeah.
And it's not accelerating yet, but today was the first acceleration we've seen, and it would not surprise me to see this accelerate like this, you know, say 3 days out of five. And then if that happens, we're going to have yields at Spain back at 6.5%. And then what is Super Mario going to do to that?
Well, you know, there's all kinds of stuff going on in Spain, which if you're careful and you're reading about it, is there for everybody to see. There have been the riots, and there's been a lot of unhappiness around the austerity. But it was just this morning, I believe, that Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy came out and said, this is a quote, "Spain is facing an economic situation of extreme difficulty. I repeat, of extreme difficulty, and anyone who doesn't understand that is fooling themselves." So this is the prime minister saying, listen, we have a really serious situation going on. They just had a 5-year auction of notes that came out that today, I believe they were hoping to sell 3.5 billion euros. They sold 2.59,
wow.
So almost a billion euros less than their max target. And here's the big thing. Last month, when they conducted a 5-year auction, the rate was 3.3%. And this time it went off at 4.3%.
There you go.
So can you imagine in the United States 10-year Treasury notes or 5 years going off a full percent higher on a month-over-month basis? I mean, and this is after the LTRO, too. So yeah, if the banks, as you mentioned at the beginning, are now going to, you know, face a situation where they're underwater on the Spanish bonds that they bought with
yes.
bailout money, which was given to them to
yes.
help bail them out from the prior sets of bad decisions they have, we now have a failed bailout on a bailout, which will necessitate, of course, a bailout. I guess. I mean, where is this going? Is anybody besides us going, the emperor has no clothes? This is ridiculous to me at this point. We've crossed into some strange territory.
There's some pretty amazing numbers coming out here of Spain here. My friend Brand, who lives in Spain, and he sends me emails literally every day, you know, links from Spain. And I can't post them all, obviously, but I pick and choose which ones I want to post. And yesterday I posted one, and they're in Spanish too, so I send them through Google Translate, and the translations are not always good. So sometimes I really revise them, and sometimes I just say, my God, this is really difficult, but you can get the gist, so go ahead and read it. But anyway, the one from yesterday says 57% of the Spanish budget is devoted to pensions, unemployment benefits, and interest. Now, what the hell do you think of that? 57% is devoted to pensions, unemployment benefits, and interest. And where is unemployment rate going? And where is interest going? So you tell me, is this sustainable, Chris? Isn't that amazing? That is an amazing stat. Here, let's see if I can break it down here. 37% is to pensions, 9% unemployment benefit, and 10.5 to interest payments. Well, interest payments are going to go up. Unemployment benefits is going to go up. We know unemployment's rising right now. This is from last month, and unemployment rate already jumped up to 23.6%. I think Spain's going to be at 25% within a couple of months. So, you know, they're going to have to start slashing these pensions and unemployment checks. And then what? And then are we going to have riots? So people don't understand what's going on and how critical this situation is in Spain. And, you know, then, you know, the minister is warning out there, chastising people, saying, well, we're not Greece. And I said, oh, my God, here we go. We've got an official denial.
It's official.
It's official. Spain is going to implode. I don't know how anyone could not come to that conclusion.
Well, they're going to need another bailout. I believe that's what the prime minister was sort of hinting at and getting around to, is they're going to have to, because it's been proven, and it's just a mathematical fact, I think, at this point. You can't slash your way to austerity to the promised land either, because that's just a spiral that has to bottom out all on its own. As you're slashing your budgets, and of course that's impacting your GDP, which means your debt to GDP ratios aren't good, your deficit to GDP ratios are usually typically getting worse. Spain has an incredible unemployment problem at this point in time. And so all of that, you know, against that is sort of our backdrop. And then we find out the LTRO effect is already worn off just a few months later. You know what, Mish? Slap me. Because 5 years ago, you said, Chris, Europe's going to dump $1 trillion into the market and it's going to goose it for 3 or 4 months. I would have said, you're nuts. That would be the kind of money that you could think about a 2 or 3 year massive business cycle building off of. And it just got swallowed up into some kind of black hole.
I just found the official denial here. It came from the EU, from the Spanish economy minister, who said any suggestions that Madrid needed emergency international funds was absurd. Ding, ding, ding. That's what I said. Ding, ding, ding. These are alarm bells. You know, the odds that Madrid needs emergency international funds is immediate is my reaction to that. So so we've got a different position presented officially than what the rational person would think when they see this. And by the way, I don't know if you noticed this, but 2 days ago, market came out, the PMI, German manufacturing is back in contraction, and everyone was surprised about this but me, and probably you, and a few people that read our blogs, but the consensus was surprised here. Because they thought that Germany was going to decouple. Well, Germany's not going to decouple. How can Germany decouple when they export to the Eurozone and they export to China, and China is slowing dramatically, mm-hmm. and Spain, Italy, and France are now in contraction. So who is this vaunted export machine of Germany going to export to? I keep asking this question, and every month, you know, market comes out with their PMI reports, and every month they're way too optimistic. You know, last month, you know, they said, well, okay, or 2 months ago, they said, well, Germany would keep Europe out of recession. I said, what? And then this last month, they said, oh, well, Europe's in recession, but Germany's going to decouple. And now this month, they're saying, well, we think everything's in recession now. They finally admitted it, but they said it might be mild and short. And every month they're way behind the curve figuring out what is going on here. Europe is imploding right now. Spain, Greece, and Portugal are in outright depressions, and it's going to get worse. And that has to drag Germany down. There's no way it can't.
And let's talk about Germany for just a minute, because Super Mario Draghi had to come out and just nix the idea of an ECB early exit from this whole stimulus program, because, you know, this is just hours after the Prime Minister of Spain came out and said what he said. And against that, at the same time, in Germany, workers are winning some of their biggest pay increases in decades because of the inflation that's been stoked. So Germany's rightly concerned about inflation. They've been feeling it. Once the workers start to get the pay increases, now you've got that wage and price spiral sort of locked in, and it starts to move. So that's one set of pressures on one side. Completely on the other side, you've got countries swirling the exact opposite direction into deflation. I can't think of a greater way to put more pressure onto a situation. There's Mario hanging out in the middle at the ECB wondering, you know, what do? Do I put more money in, or do I start to withdraw it? Those are the two pressures that are being faced there right now. So I think what you get is paralysis. My analysis here would be that we're not going to see much more activity out of the ECB at this point. I think that's what the markets are smelling as well.
Well, also, Super Mario is under pressure here. I don't know if you saw it, but, you know, for his popularity was pretty strong. It was like 64% for a while, but it has dipped down to 40%, maybe the high 30s now. So people in Italy are now getting fed up of his austerity programs, and it's an absolute catastrophe in Greece, actually, what's going on. The support there for the Troika appointed, you know, the appointed official, no one elected these guys, has dropped now to like something like 15%. So you've got some far right and some far left and some communists, and you know, the radical groups in Greece, both extremes, are taking over. I don't know how they're going to come up with any kind of coalition there in Greece that's going to be able to hold to those agreements that they've pushed through. There's no popular support for these things at all. They're trying to backtrack them at all. I really thought that there was going to be that holiday in Greece in March. I don't know. Maybe we see it. Maybe we see it right after the elections, or maybe we see a surprise Easter holiday here. in Greece, where they closed the banks and reopened and announced the drachma. Something's going on there. The Greek one-year bond, I don't think that thing is trading yet because of all of these agreements still have not been worked out. It is absolutely amazing here what's going on in Greece, and you don't even see anything on it. Let me just do a quick check here. Greek 10-year bonds are at 22%. Okay. Let me see if I can get a Bloomberg quote on the one-year bond. The last quote I had was as of 309. It's still there, and the yield is 1,143%, but there is no quote on it. That's the last quote from March 9th. And the people don't even realize these things aren't even trading the one-year bond because Greece is not making its commitments because of all of these agreements that are still unsettled. Amazing, right?
Well, it's amazing. Maybe the ECB should buy some of those bonds if they could, and then they could record them at par and record the gains and then ship the gains out to some of the member countries like they did last time. That would be a nice little trick right there, if you could do it. Good work if you can get it, by the way.
Yeah, meanwhile, back in the U.S., the ISM was what? Services ISM was a little bit cheery or something. They claim. I'm wondering how much of this is weather related. I'm wondering how sustainable this is. Certainly, a piece of it has to do with car sales. And for the life of me, I can just tell you a flat out, I don't understand it. But people are buying cars.
The dealer inventory is rather high, so that counts on the
yes,
sales.
Yes, it is. But I mean, at some point, you know, the channel stuffing has to stop. So there's probably some. I'm sure there's a lot of channel stuffing, but there's probably some genuine car sales behind that. Whatever reason, I don't know. It's certainly not sustainable here. And, if you want a prediction from me, I think there's a strong chance that the seasonal adjustments here in March, we've got a jobs number coming out on Friday. I think next month's going to be a disaster, but ADP is saying 200,000 jobs this month. I'll take a wild guess at 50,000 jobs after we see or the unemployment rate jumping a couple of tenths of a percent after we see some of these seasonal adjustments come back into play, where March takes away some of this warm weather from January and February. Not sure about that, Chris. I don't know.
All right.
But I think we're going to see a substantial slowdown in the United States within a month.
All right. Well, let's start tracking those numbers in next week's podcast. That's all the time we have this week. I want to remind everybody that if you want to support a really good cause, the ALS Foundation doing some really good work on amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, which, by the way, was something I did research on once upon a time in a past life. So at any rate, I know that there's really good progress being made and we're getting understandings all the time. And you could both support that and have a pretty decent risk-adjusted shot at a really nice haul, and good luck to everybody who's going to be playing in that game. I certainly will be, and that's it for now. Do you have anything else?
Well, thanks again, Chris, for your support, for Adam's support. You did a tremendous job putting together that website for the ALS Foundation, and if you can't, afford a $200 ticket, you can always make a donation, even of $10, on the website. Any amount is appreciated. It goes straight to ALS research. I picked the Les Turner Foundation because their expense ratio was the lowest of any of the foundations of ALS. It was actually surprisingly low. I don't remember the number. I'm going to say something like 12% right now. So the money you donate to this is really going to go for research. It's a good cause. It's a very devastating disease. A lot of pressure on me, and as bad as things here are on me, you can just imagine how bad they are on my wife, a very independent kind of person who now literally needs help doing everything, even just standing up. So I appreciate your support, Chris, and thank you. And I guess with that, we'll catch you in 7.
All right. We'll see you next week.